proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting you another radio Bible study. We continue looking at our series about the war against Gog and Magog, as described in the 38th and 39th chapters of the book of Ezekiel. During the latter days, after God brought the Jewish people back to their homeland, the Jews will face an invasion spearheaded by various nations. God posed them a cryptic question in Ezekiel chapter 38, quote, "Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? Since this figure Gog only appeared in the book of Ezekiel, it would appear that God would refer to Gog and to his allies by different names when in other Bible passages. Isaiah prophesied about the entity known as Gog in the 26th chapter of his book. In that passage, Isaiah said, quote, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall publish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea," unquote. Some commentators have speculated that the name Leviathan had referred to some large aquatic creature. Yet God's reference to drawing out Leviathan in Job chapter 41 implied that that entity possessed a greater power than man could possess. Anyone who equated Leviathan with, say, a crocodile would have to confront the fact that men have and do triumph over crocodiles when wrestling them. By equating Leviathan with a serpent, though, God might have alluded back to Genesis chapter 3 and the serpent there. The serpent in Genesis 3 served as the instrument through which the devil tempted Eve to transgress. The writer of Psalm 74 declared that God, quote, "breaketh the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness," unquote. Notice the plural, the heads of Leviathan, indicating more than one entity. The prophecy in Psalm 74 foreshadowed the latter day events that God described more explicitly in Ezekiel 38 and 39. God deliberately allowed Gog and his allies to invade Israel. Why did he do so? He explains in Ezekiel chapter 38, quote, "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord," unquote. In other words, God allowed Gog and his allies to invade Israel solely for the purpose of defeating them and manifesting his glory to the whole world. In a number of ways, God manifested his glory already to his covenant people. After the Exodus, according to Exodus chapter 19, the Israelites beheld that divine glory at Mount Sinai. The 40th chapter of Exodus related how God's glory filled the temple at the dedication of that structure. The same thing occurred with regard to Solomon's temple, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8. On each of these occasions, God revealed his glory to the Jewish nation. But God also manifested his glory to the Gentile nations. According to Psalm chapter 19, David wrote that, quote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork," unquote. In other words, the Gentiles could look at the orderly pattern of the stars in heaven and understand that there was a creator, a divine creator, that put these patterns together. By executing judgment against Gog and his allies, God will again magnify his name. At that time, as Habakkuk foretold, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting you another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.